just what a remarkable woman she is. She's had such a prolific life, touched so many children, and continues to be involved in the children's book world.
That's Selena Alco, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Selena Alco is an award-winning author-illustrator of many books for young readers, including I is for Immigrants, B is for Brooklyn, Daddy Christmas and Hanukkah Mama, and Joni, the Lyrical Life of Joni Mitchell, just to mention a few. She joins us to talk about Otherwise Known as Judy the Great, a poetic ode to Judy Blume. Selena, welcome to Conversations.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, this is obviously a book inspired by Judy Blume, but why did you want to concentrate on her childhood?
Well, it is a book for children, so children reading it will be able to identify with different aspects of her growing up years, and hopefully they'll find something to connect with or relate to and be able to see themselves in her and how she went on to have such a wildly successful writing life. Maybe little kids who love stories or like to write already might be inspired to do the same.
And they'll be able to see, you know, maybe the kids won't pick up on everything, but adults reading this book to kids would pick up on the fact that these childhood experiences are part of what formed her to become the beloved author she became.
Exactly. She had a relatively usual childhood, suburban New Jersey, you know, family dynamics, you know, she had fears and anxieties like most kids do and had different ways of coping by turning inward, reading books, writing in her journal, things like that. So that is absolutely spot on.
So you're telling the story of her childhood in verse. Tell us more about why you wanted to do it in that way.
Well, I felt like I could create almost like mini chapters, little vignettes of her life rather than telling a linear story. I could kind of move in and out of different moments. I had the great fortune and privilege of collaborating or corresponding with Judy Blume during the process. So she shared some memories with me and anecdotes and things that I was able to incorporate. And I wanted to focus on sort of key moments and key relationships. And it made it sort of easier to do that by doing these different types of poems. And also, I just thought it would be more engaging for children and adults and sort of a fun way. Also, poetry is not something that Judy Blume herself did in her book. So I wanted the book to be different from her oeuvre, so to speak.
Well, I want to talk to you a little bit more about the research in just a moment, but do you have a copy of the book handy there?
I do.
Can you read the first few pages for us just to give us a sample of what readers are going to find here?
Sure. Okay, it starts off, the first poem is called Judy the Great. 2 days away from Valentine's Day, in an otherwise quiet town, a girl who would grow up to be a great writer is born. The date is February 12, 1938. The town is Elizabeth, New Jersey. The girl is Judith Sussman, otherwise known as Judy the Great. The next poem, the next little chapter, is called Close Knit. Like strands of wool in a sweater, Judy's family was close-knit. Her father at the head, Rudolph or Rudy, connecting the sleeves. Judy's mother, Esther or Essie, and her grandmother, Nanny Mama, all hold tight to the children, David and Judy, siblings, opposites, in the belly of the cardigan.
One of the things I enjoyed about how you put all this together is that there are references to Judy's works. In fact, just the title of the book is a reference to one of her books.
Exactly, which her book, otherwise known as Sheila the Great, which is a part of her Fudge series. So I kind of did a spin on that, calling the book otherwise known as Judy the Great.
There are kind of puns throughout. Like at the very end, you talk about Judy Blooms, as in B-L-O-O-M-S, but, you know, a play on her name, obviously. And then at the back of the book, you have back matter that shows some of the research that you did, including timelines and photographs, etc. So tell us a bit more about the research you did, and I'm curious about maybe what surprised you the most to learn during that research process.
Well, you know, I read as many books as I could, biographies of her life. And I was actually under the impression that she had a very difficult relationship with her mother based on my research. But then when I was corresponding with her, she actually let me know that they had kind of a pretty, a very loving aspect to their relationship. And she gave me certain stories of things that they did together, like shopping trips to Manhattan and Broadway shows. And she helped her mother with tea parties and things like that. So I was able to put those sweeter, softer stories into my book. And she helped me set the family dynamics straight. Like, her father was definitely at the head of the family. So in the close-knit sweater illustration, originally I had Nanny Mama, the grandma, at the head, because I envisioned it like a family tree almost. So the grandmother would be at the top, but Judy insisted that her father was at the head. And so I put the mother and the grandmother on the sleeves, sort of holding the children tight. So that surprised me a little bit. What else? I assumed, you know, she had a lot of worries and anxieties based on how she portrayed Margaret in Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, and things that I read. But I did learn that she really had a pretty happy, joyful side to her. And I feel that that still comes through in her adult self. She's a very optimistic person. And obviously, like, you know, she's had this sort of grit and this really strong sense of self from a young age, which is super impressive and very inspiring.
Do you think that's part of the reason why her books still speak to kids today?
Yes. Yes. Her humor, her dialogue is so realistic and so relatable. The way that the kids and the characters talk to each other, very funny. And she's a funny person. And yes, I think that they were very relatable, obviously, to many millions of people the world over. And still, yes, they do. Her books sell well today, and they continue to be adapted.
So most people may or may not know that when it comes to creating picture books, there's often an author and a separate illustrator. And those two work through an editor or producer and may not even ever meet. But you are both author and illustrator. So do you feel like that gives you a creative advantage?
Yeah. I don't always do both the words and the picture. Sometimes I illustrate other people's texts. So I'm very familiar with that balance of that relationship and having to be kept separate from the author. But in this case, it was nice to be able to do the research and be involved in all aspects of the book. You know, I like doing both, but I do think it's double the amount of work when you do write and illustrate, because, you know, it's a big undertaking.
So I want to come back to Judy Blume and how she touches kids even today, speaks to them, because, you know, a lot of the issues of growing up don't change. They're universal. But yet at the same time, I was surprised to learn that there have been times when Judy Blume's books have been banned and considered to be controversial. Why is that?
I think because she's not afraid to go there, and she will tackle these difficult topics that some parents or, you know, gatekeepers feel are kind of taboo or maybe not for every child, like things like talking openly about puberty, or even in Iggy's House, her book that is about segregation and integration, a Black family moves into a predominantly white neighborhood. that was considered very sort of risque and controversial at the time. Not that that's one of her books that's the most banned. I would say it's Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, or Deenie. Deenie, there's a scene about masturbation. You know, these things are not, you know, they're, see, it's even hard for me to talk about it out loud. I mean, just because like you want to be, have the right words, or especially for young kids. Although, you know, I was absolutely obsessed with all of Judy Blume's books growing up. And I feel that that's how I learned about these things, in the privacy of my own room, behind, you know, under my covers, reading her books, learning about sex and growing up and my changing body and all these things. It was the internet of my day.
What new appreciation of Judy Blume do you hope people will take from this book?
Just what a remarkable woman she is. She's had such a prolific life, touched so many children, and continues to be involved in the children's book world through the work she's doing at her bookstore. She's also done I guess I don't really talk about it in my book, but she's worked a lot to combat book banning. But I would say she's an inspiration. She had a fairly regular childhood and turned her regular, you know, her normal childhood fears and anxieties and experiences and mined those things to create, you know, wonderful stories, relatable stories for children, and continues to be relatable to millions of children worldwide. So I guess it's just, maybe it's that she is a regular human that had this sort of regular American childhood and then went on to have this extraordinary career. So I guess she's an inspiring person, and maybe that's like the takeaway.
The picture book is otherwise known as Judy the Great, A Poetic Ode to Judy Blume by Selena Alco. Selena, thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's delightful.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.